Well, good evening. So good to be with you all this evening. Before I begin my lesson, you can go ahead and open up your Bibles if you want to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'll be there in a little while. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Our most gracious Holy Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We lift you up and praise you, Father, thanking you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, for your love and for your grace, for your understanding, for our daily bread. Dear Heavenly Father, for guiding us through this life and giving us Jesus as the example. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with us this evening in our study of your word and your will. Help us to understand and grab on to what you're really trying to do through Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Wow, who's Jesus? Man, what an immense subject. You could get lost in all kinds of theology. But Jesus changed the playing field. Jesus changed the paradigm. Man had it wrong. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and it did not overcome the darkness. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of God is Jesus. But who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is going to answer that question for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now, when we begin this, and all of a sudden He starts talking about rooms and mansions and things like this, you need to get your mind out of heaven. That's not what He's talking about. Oh, heaven is the result of what He's talking about. But I want you to see what He says here, because it tells me who Jesus is and why that is so significant for you and I. Why it has such meaning for you and I in the body of Christ. And especially meaning in reference to our evangelism. Let's begin in chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, by the way, we'll find out in just a moment, the house is the church of God. It's the church of the living God whom Christ is head of. Many rooms. By the way, He hasn't left yet. He hasn't been crucified. He hasn't resurrected. He says, be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. By the way, you had to go and enter heaven. Read the book of Hebrews. Offer that sacrifice. Then He returned glorified. And He gave them the mission before His final ascension. Folks, we're not talking about heaven only. You see, Jesus did more than just die for my sin. He did more than pay the price for my sin. He's more than just an advocate. He actually came, God in the flesh, to change, Emmanuel, God with us, to change the way man lives, who he is, and how he carries out the will of God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Don't you understand? He went there, the sacrifice was accepted. He came back, let them know that it was true, that it was valid. Even helped Thomas realize it when Thomas touched him. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus is going to come back. What's he going to get? The church. But the church has a significant reason. Do you understand? Whenever you were immersed, there's the baptism. I always look for the baptistry back there. Do you realize that when you're immersed into Christ and you raise up out of that watery grave, the reason you weren't translated to heaven is there is an absolute mission that God wants you and I to live and to be in a way He wants us to live and for us to experience. My hope's not when I get to heaven. I have it right now. My hope is in a changed life. My hope is being a new creature in Christ Jesus who's been changed and who's been seated in the heavenly realms to walk with Jesus in an intimate relationship with Him right here and now as Jesus leads me to heaven. Is that the life you've been living? Or you've just been waiting to die to go to heaven? No, you have to walk to heaven. Do you know that?
If we walk in the light as He in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You're going to have to walk with Jesus. Because you believe it and you want to experience it and you want to be a part of that changed life. You know, Adam lost it. Jesus in the Bible is the second Adam. He came to bring it back, to reestablish it, to create that new life that separates us from the old man. And the more I walk with Jesus, the further apart, this being the old man, the further apart God moves me from the old man. And the greater my peace, the less anxiety, the more joy that I have, the more hope, and the more courageous I am in carrying out the life of Christ by faith, and even to the point that it helps me overcome behavior that's unacceptable to God. He changed the paradigm, folks. Watch. Verse 4. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are. Wait, how could he say to them, you know the way? Jesus had been living that life in front of them. He was living what God and how God intended man to live. That was in the garden. Now, by the way, God wasn't surprised by it. It's God's eternal purpose that through Christ He saved man. He knew that Adam and the choice of men would turn away from God, create their own ways, become self-absorbed, involve themselves in their own self-worship and idolatry. He knew that. So He sends Jesus. Why? Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God's showing His creation. This is how I intended you to live. A life based in love, which is the premise for all things that are true. And Jesus came to prove it. Oh, He proved it. So much that He proved it, and so rejected was He by man, because man realized either He's right or we're wrong, and they didn't want to be wrong, and they put Him on a cross. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now think for a moment, folks. He said they knew it. Thomas is not recognizing it. Jesus said, I am the way. In other words, I'm going to show you the way to go. I'm the way. You follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. I will show you the way to live. I will show you the way to be. I will show you the way to love. I will show you how you can change the lives of those that are around you. I will show you how God will use you in His ministry of reconciliation, that you would reach out to the world and be a light to the world. You're a light of the world. City on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither men light a lamp and put it in a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand. It gives light to everyone in the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father. What are they going to see? They're going to see the life of Christ. They're going to see a changed human being that's not like the rest of the world and doesn't live in their passions and desires and preferences and opinions as the world lives. Have you been sitting down? Waiting to die so you can go to heaven? I'm going to say this as kind as I can. If you're a believer, you're going to get up and you're going to walk with Jesus till the day you die. Because you're going to follow Him to heaven. He's going to show you the way. He says, I am the way. I will set you free of all that cost you your relationship with God. Now, I died and paid the price so that you could be justified. That if you would follow me, God would extend His grace to you. You just waiting to die? Go to heaven? Or are you living with Jesus? Walking with Jesus? Thinking with Jesus? Talking with Jesus? Saying and doing and being what Jesus was, is? Because that's what we were really intended to be. You understand that? That's when we're happy. That's when life is fulfilled. That's when we have a peace that passes all understanding. You mean I can have a peace that passes the understanding that the world has? Yes, I can have a peace that goes beyond what the natural world has if I will understand who Jesus is and by faith submit to Him, sacrificing my life for Him daily, Romans 12. Paul said, So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Oh, you mean that's what he was talking about in John chapter 14? You bet. Jesus was going to bring in a kingdom that would last forever, that the gates of hell could not prevail against. And guess what? It could not be destroyed. It could not be removed. Read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28. Paul said to Timothy, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and buttress of the truth. The church is the pillar and the buttress of the truth. Remember he said, I am the way, the truth. What is the truth? The love of God. Now I'm the way, you follow me. Now I'm going to teach you how to love. And the church is the very buttress of God. For the church not only loves those that are in the world, but loves each other deeply as they love God, submitting in obedience to Him. And they love themselves enough to love God and their neighbor. As a child of God, if I understand who Jesus is, I don't stand around and say, oh, I hope I'm going to heaven. I know it, because He's the one I walk with. He'll keep His promise. I'm just going to trust Him. As flawed as I am, I'll walk with Him. I can't say that I'm without sin. I'd make myself a liar. I'd make God a liar. But if I confess, 1 John, if I confess my sins, He'll forgive me of all my unrighteousness. Now, I want to show you why that's such a significant passage. You say, well, you know, I confess my sins, so God's going to forgive me. The word there, confession, in that context has to do with a walk. It's not lip service. It's your walk. Your confession is your walk. You confess your sins and you show that you believe that He will forgive you of all your unrighteousness by the walk you start to do again that He's asked you to do. You engage it by faith. It's not lip service. It's a life. How are we going to change the world if we don't live any different? Thomas said, well, I don't know the ways. You know me? You don't know the way? Jesus had been showing them. He certainly did not live like the world. The Hebrew writer said, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, he's talking about Jesus. The house of God, what is the church? I got a great priest over it. He's the one I follow. He's not only my advocate, He was not only my sacrifice, but He's the one I follow because He's going to show me the way so I can exercise the truth of God, which is the love of God, in my life. Isn't it interesting that when you are engaged in the love of God, that you're not engaged in the love of self and sin? Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Now watch this. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Oh, wait a minute. You mean I'm going to walk with Him? I'm going to let Him show me the way and I'm going to trust it? Let me tell you something. I was up in the mountains in Arizona. And there's this certain path that goes up and then it comes down. And if you take the one to the left that looks like the main pass, all of a sudden you're just going to be, oh, no. But the other one that didn't look like it, but the guy who knew it showed me, you got to go this way, you can't go that way, and especially in the dark, man. Now, if I took you to that mountain with me, and I've been there 5 times, and believe me, I made me even a little marker so that when I was in the dark coming down from that thing, from my hunting ventures, that I knew which way to go. Because I was shown the safe way to go, the right way to go, so that I would live. Let me ask you a question. If you were with me, and it was your first time, and you look down, well, man, this looks like the trail. Look at that nice thing. Follow me. I've been here. I know where to go. I bet you follow me. Jesus knew where to go. You're going to have to follow Him daily. He knows where to go. He knows where to take you. He knows where to guide your heart. You've got to listen to Him. He's the way and He's the truth. But are you ready for this? The Bible says, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, how did He change the playing field? How did He change the paradigm?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Jesus began to teach, and guess what he taught? The humble and broken and contrite heart is the one that's going to go to heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. And so he actually laid out in the Beatitudes the concept of what the new man would be. And he said, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. These are people that know how to feel for others. And they feel for others because they've let go of themselves. And they can take comfort in that. You've got to get out of you if you want to walk with Jesus. And if you do, the walk will be one of comfort and of peace. Not anxiety and turmoil. Not depression, frustration, and anger and envy. Blessed are the meek. Wow, you mean my circumstances aren't going to control me? Because my God owns this world and I'm not going to be given to the material. In fact, I'm not going to let my circumstances or the things that are going on around control me. That's it. They inherit the earth. Why? The earth doesn't own them. Why? They followed Jesus and didn't own Him. So He showed the way. Blessed are those who do thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they will be filled. Who's the righteousness of God? Somebody tell me. He's not talking about your good works there. The righteousness of God is Jesus. Blessed are those who do thirst and hunger after the righteousness of God, who hunger. They'll be filled. Why? Only Jesus can fill your life and fill your heart. It's His righteousness you trust in, and it's He's the one you yield to. Blessed are the merciful. You know, He teaches me how to love. He teaches me how to be gracious. He teaches me how to be kind. He teaches me how to love people and remain their friend even when they stop loving me as a child of God. I'm free if that's the case. A merciful person is not controlled by the aspirations of others because they're a forgiving person. They're a giving person. And they're not expecting all of these things in return for what they do. They can wash feet. They can wipe away tears. They can make somebody feel loved. They can convince a person, you know, you are important. God has not forgotten you. And how would that person know? Because of how you have decided to treat them. Because you're going to be like Jesus. You're going to walk in the light as He is in the light. And you're going to have fellowship with your Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to walk with Him. It's a personal thing. It's on a daily basis that you and I to engage this. See, Jesus came more than just to take away my sins and give me heaven. He came to give me a new life. A different life. A life of powerful love. Willingness to sacrifice and to give and to reach out and change and heal the lives of others. Blessed are the pure in spirit. That's what He taught. In other words, blessed are those that see people the way God sees them. He teaches me to see you as well as myself as God sees us. So I look with God's eyes, therefore I don't look, watch now, with my covetous eyes or my lustful eyes. Are my controlling eyes. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, you can always tell a child of God. They're not like that kid that always walked up and you were looking in the little puddle down there and you could see the tadpole swimming, you're trying to catch a few, and he walks up and he takes his stick and stirs it up and you can't see the tadpoles. I'm not going to tell you what Mark and I did to a friend of ours that did that when we were trying to catch tadpoles. I wasn't a Christian then. But you see, a Christian doesn't come and stir up the mud, dirty the water. They're not drama queens and kings. They're not abusers and misusers. They're not blamers. They're peacemakers. They know how to heal. They don't steal somebody's spirit. They don't steal somebody's joy and therefore their life. You understand you can take a person's life? What do you mean? Well, their desire to really go on, have hope, want to live, feel like there's somebody. You as a child of God don't do that. Jesus didn't do that.
Don't tell me he didn't come and change the playing field. Don't tell me he didn't come and change the paradigm that men have it wrong. And you and I as his followers, as we pick up our cross, what do you mean? I leave that old man. I die to him. I keep pushing him back. Paul said, I buffet him daily. Why? I want to be like Jesus. Because I find freedom in Christ. Love in Christ. Joy in Christ. I'm actually an asset and not a liability. As most in this world are a liability. They take life from people. To control them, to manipulate them, to have their way, to gain their way. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And then he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those that are persecuted for the only righteous one who is Jesus. For his name's sake, you're living because you're saying by your life, you believe that what he gave us a new life, God's Spirit, Romans 5, God poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit whom he's given you. You believe it and you act upon it. You're not sitting here attending or being a part of programs waiting to die to go to heaven. And you won't understand why evangelism is hurting so much in the church, because we miss the concepts of our life. Quit waiting for somebody else to do it. You live. You walk. You take his hand. You let him lead you down that right trail, because, my friend, if you don't, you're going to take the wrong path in life. And you might even feel self-righteous. But you're still going to fall off the cliff. He changed the paradigm. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God who came down here in the life of man to show you and I how to live, to set us free from this tangled up, fallen, awful, ungodly, unkind world. To bring peace and joy to the lives of those who are around us. That's why he said, y'all will do many things greater than I, because Jesus had to go. Look at the lives that have been saved through the centuries by those who are children of God, who understood that I'm to walk in the light as he's in the light and have fellowship with my Jesus. It's personal. It's daily. It's right now. Now let me ask you a question. Who you been walking with? I didn't say give me a theological answer. I said give me an answer. Who have you been really walking with that you believe you are walking with? Yourself? Or Jesus? He said, I am the way. He'll show you the way. I am the truth. Truth is based in love, and he teaches you and I how to love. And boy, we love our family, we love our friends, we love the brethren, we love our neighbors, we make a difference in the life, and I am the light. And by the way, if you won't follow him in the way that he shows you and exercise that truth, which is the love of God, do you understand you don't have life? You don't even know what life is because you've refused it for your own selfishness. Or you've had this misunderstanding. Well, you know, I got to live here miserably till I die and go to. You have to be miserable. A believer's not miserable. Yeah, they have hard times like everybody else and good times. But they're not miserable. They rejoice. They have joy and peace and patience and gentleness and faithfulness. They persevere and they're self-controlled. Why? Because they walk with Jesus, who changed the whole thing when he seated you and I in heavenly realm. What a wonderful God, my Jesus. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? He makes a difference. Has he made the difference in you? If not, and you've not thought about it, and you know that God knows, and you've just kind of existed and carried on and really not committed yourself to him, then tonight, by the way, listen to Jesus. If you've not obeyed the gospel, he said, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that disbelieveth will be condemned. You might want to believe Jesus. He upholds all things by the word of his power. You know that, don't you? That means he even upholds Mike Price by God's grace. What will you do with Jesus? Who is he to you as we stand and sing?